So what do you get when you cross a wizened Gen Xer with a proud millennial?
Here we go.
A mixtape filled with
Britney Spears songs?
Or maybe a rotary landline telephone
that takes selfies?
Maybe a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Or Tom and Jerry each get participation trophies?
No, 21st century solutions.
According to Kaylin and Ramsey.
Well, today is Wednesday, July the 6th, 2022. How are you doing today, Kaylin?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I am doing well. Had a nice little weekend. Got away for just a little bit for the 4th of July. Now we're back here, back in action. I'm excited today to welcome a very special guest on the podcast, Ben Delman, who is the Communications Director for Solar United Neighbors. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm doing well, Ramsey and Kaitlin. Thank you so much for having me. And, you know, while I definitely consider myself an elder millennial, I feel like I've seen enough 80s movies that I can probably hang with you, Ramsey. So I'm excited to be here.
Bridging the gap.
Exactly. Well, I'm married to a Gen Xer, so he likes to think that our ages are combined then make us somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, awesome. Averaging it all out. Well, we thought of you guys at Sun for a couple of reasons. First off, one of the benefits of getting an easy solar loan is that we connect our borrowers with Sun through our affiliate membership. But here in the context of the podcast, you know, we talk a lot about community-based solutions. And Solar United Neighbors, we think, is a terrific example because you guys, not only do you host an online community solution at solarunitedneighbors.org, but you also do work on the ground in multiple states, organizing people to promote and deploy solar in their local communities. So please tell us a bit about Solar United Neighbors and how you do that.
Sure. So our organization, Solar United Neighbors, started about 15 years ago with a question. And that question was, Mom, can we go solar? So our executive director, Anya Spoolman, her son, Walter, and his friend, Diego, had just seen the movie An Inconvenient Truth and were compelled by the movie to take action. And so the sort of first question they had of their parents was, let's go solar. And so Anya looked into it at the time. This was, you know, early 2000s, and realized that, you know, it was pretty expensive, pretty complicated. And she got the thought that, you know, for all the time and trouble and effort it would take for us to go solar, we might as well do it for the whole neighborhood. And so that's what ended up happening. Walter and Diego canvassed up and down their neighborhood, up and down the block, to ask neighbors to join what they called the solar cooperative, a solar co-op. And that first group got about 50 folks in the neighborhood to go solar. They worked together really over the course of 2 years to learn about the process, the technology. They also had to do some advocacy work in Washington, D.C. to make sure that the policies were in place so that people could actually go solar. But, you know, that's really where we got our start. And so word spread around the city about this group, and other neighborhood groups started forming and joining together. And similarly, word then further spread around the region. And so we started launching programs in states throughout the Mid-Atlantic. So fast forwarding to today, we work across the country to help people go solar in a model very similar to that first solar co-op that the boys developed. We, in that time since, have helped about 7,000 families across the country go solar through the solar co-op model, and have also worked on a countless number of solar advocacy campaigns to make sure that people's right to go solar was protected.
So when you say solar co-op, like, what do you mean by that? What makes it a co-op, and how do people sort of collaborate together?
Sure. So in our reckoning, a solar co-op is a group of neighbors anywhere from 25, 50, 100, you know, some of our larger groups, you know, maybe 200 or so members. We work with them. We have plenty of educational materials on our website, and we also host free public information sessions where people in the co-op and people who are interested can come and learn about solar technology, the process to go solar, financing options, so they feel confident that going solar is right for them and their family. And then when a group is large enough, usually about 25 or 30 members, we'll issue an RFP, request for proposals, to local installers. Local installers then bid, put together a proposal based on the RFP. A selection committee made up of the solar co-op members review each bid and choose one to serve the group. When the installer is selected, they then work individually with each co-op member on a proposal that's specified for their home. So the co-op is free to join, and joining is a commitment to purchase panels. So once homeowners get their proposal, they can then decide individually if going solar is right for them. And we at Solar United Neighbors work alongside them as a neutral third party to help them understand their proposal and make sure that the installation process is going smoothly for them.
That's really awesome. We, you know, have been partnered with you guys for a while now, and it's very interesting to me to hear how you got your start. I love it. I have a 9-year-old son, and he is very intuitive and inquisitive. So I can absolutely see how you guys got your start and just how far it has taken, you know, and now you're also helping our members of Easy Solar Loan and Community First Credit Union go solar by offering membership to our members to be able to offer solar lending without dealer fees all over the country. So we definitely thank you guys for that. And, you know, we wanted to have you on here as a community solution, but also so that we can learn more about your organization as well and how we can be of help and vice versa. So we're really excited to have you here and hear about all these exciting and new age things you guys are doing.
Well, yeah, thank you for those kind words. And there, I think, are a number of ways that folks can get involved with Solar United Neighbors to, you know, help the work that we're doing to make sure that, you know, that more people can benefit from solar energy. So we're, you know, always excited to talk to like-minded folks.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So how has Sun sort of developed or changed or evolved over the years? And what are some of the really current sort of challenges or priorities that you guys are focused on now?
Yeah, so I think over the years, as we've grown, we have this sort of theory of change, right? Is that we help people go solar, we build a community of solar supporters, and then we're able to help people fight for their energy rights. And so through that, I think we've seen a number of different ways to help people go solar that's beyond sort of the individual homeowner rooftop solar. You know, I think one of those being community solar. So advocating here in Washington, D.C., where I'm located, in Maryland and in other states, Virginia, for policies that allow people to benefit from solar energy, even if they're not able to install solar on their home, which is something that community solar provides. So building a base of solar supporters and activists who are, you know, excited to fight for policies that expand solar energy. I think as we've grown, we've also been able to defend current solar rights. I'm sure that you both have followed closely the events from the spring down in Florida, where the utility down there, FPL, pushed for a bill that would have essentially ended net metering, which is the system that Florida and most states use to fairly credit solar owners for the electricity that they generate. And so we were able to drum up massive public outcry against this effort, generating thousands and thousands and thousands of letters to the governor to encourage him to veto this bad bill, which he did end up doing. And it really shows, I think, the power that solar supporters have, pun very much intended, that, you know, when solar supporters join together, we win. And so I think that's really the most dynamic change I've seen, is really that as we've helped more people go solar, we've been able to really build this strong community that fights for better solar policies, and hopefully to continue, you know, hopefully that then we'll be able to continue that momentum here going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I was really shocked that, you know, just the idea of Florida losing net metering. I mean, clearly down in Florida, they have so much sun and they have so much opportunity for that. It just seems like it would have been just a horrible loss on that front. So really glad you guys were able to do that. What was that like in terms of a battle?
Yeah, it was intense. You know, certainly, you know, Florida Power and Light, which is one of the main monopoly utilities down there, they certainly have a great deal of political clout and power and use that to their benefit. And I think it really, you know, it is a lesson that, you know, solar owners, people who support solar energy, have power as well. And that, you know, as solar continues to grow in popularity, it's not a left or right issue. It's something that folks of all political stripes can get behind. And, you know, we certainly see that in polling about, you know, the levels at which people support solar energy. And, you know, I think that was really gratifying to see, you know, the outpouring of support for solar in terms of legislative or contacting legislators, contacting the governor, but then also, you know, writing letters to the editor, writing opinion columns to local media. I think there's really a lot of different ways. You know, we held a big rally in Tallahassee. There's just so many ways that, you know, folks can get involved and show their support for solar. Hopefully, I think those lessons can be use other places. Certainly, you know, Florida is not alone when it comes to, you know, this fight over fair credit for solar energy.
I know in Washington, we still have net metering, but we also, before Ramsey joined Easy Solar Loan, he was fighting the good fight on with a different nonprofit. But we went through something similar with our incentive plan, because in Washington, you know, utility rates are so low that for some consumers, it makes it hard to make solar as an investment make sense for them. And Washington had a really great incentive plan that was used up. And then we, you know, had to fight to get a new incentive plan in place so that solar could continue to grow in Washington. And I feel like solar is an industry that is unlike any other industry I've ever seen, where, you know, owners who are competitors are so willing to come together and work together. And like us as lenders, you know, we have other local credit unions in Washington, and we're all just willing to work together to make sure that solar continues to grow in the, you know, in the Pacific Northwest and outside of the Pacific Northwest as well, just to ensure that, you know, we're helping to leave a clean environment to these kids that we're raising that obviously have the sense already to do this. So, yeah, it's really, when we heard the news out of Florida that, you know, it was able to stop the bill that, you know, we all celebrated, and not from a financing standpoint and more customer standpoint, but if it was able to happen in Florida, then where else would it happen next? You know, and there's states, many states that don't have net metering, and that could, it deterred them ever getting it. So it was, what a win that was. And you know, congratulations to you guys, and thank you for being there, boots on the ground to make sure that it happened.
Yeah, I think your point is well taken, and I would definitely be remiss to, you know, not mention the great support and the great work that the solar installers did, you know, in this fight in Florida, you know, really making the case of, you know, for them this is very much an economic issue, right? That they depend on solar owners receiving fair credit to keep their businesses strong and growing, and I think that was certainly, you know, a compelling argument for a lot of folks as to why, you know, net metering should be kept. And your Kaylin, your point too about, you know, where else could this spread? You know, I think certainly California is the next most notable, you know, ongoing fight. That one's a little bit different in that their net metering fight is at the Public Utilities Commission. It's not legislative, but even there, we're seeing really an outpouring of, so again, support for solar from really a broad coalition of solar supporters, solar installers, and others who support people's right to take control of where their electricity comes from.
Yeah. Well, where do you think this is going? I mean, what do you see for the next, let's say, you know, 3, 5, 10 years? Do you see it continuing to expand solar? We know we had a bit of a scare there with some of the tariffs, but it looks like that's probably going to be resolved itself. Like, where do you see sort of the market, going in the next few years?
Yeah, I certainly see growth for solar. You know, something we've seen and I think is really borne out by the research on this is that the strongest indicator of if somebody is going to go solar is if their neighbors have it or they know somebody who has it. And so as solar continues to grow, you know, I think we're creating a virtuous circle where more people realize, oh, this is actually something that's, you know, saving my neighbor's money and you know, protecting them, you know, from, you know, electric grid outages if they have battery storage. So I certainly think, you know, the growth will continue, but, you know, what I'm really most interested to see and excited about are those second and third steps after you go solar. So, you know, going solar and then adding an electric vehicle, right? Because if you can, you know, power your home with fuel from the sun, why not be able to power your car with fuel from the sun as well? Mm-hmm. Another area is that, you know, I briefly mentioned battery storage, you know, particularly places like Florida, but elsewhere where electricity service may not be completely reliable as adoption of battery storage continues to rise, you know, and that becomes more economical as the cost of storage comes down. That's, I think, something really interesting to see more people do, not only, you know, for their own peace of mind, but also some potential benefits that it has for everybody. You know, I think of a place like Texas where we work and think back, you know, a little more than a year ago to the terrible winter storm they had there. You know, if the electric grid there was more bi-directional, that is, if more people were able to generate and store their own electricity, could we have avoided some of the blackouts and grid outages that we saw? And, you know, that's good for people who have solar, obviously, but that's good for people who don't. That's better for everybody. So in what ways can we incentivize the market to allow for a more decentralized electricity system that really benefits everybody, but keeps rooftop solar, you know, at the cornerstone? So as we're, you know, talking 3, 5, 10 years out, I think that's really what I'm most excited about is what are the second and third order benefits of people going solar and then bringing that to everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And these, of course, you know, are long-term investments, you know, getting a solar PV system. It's a 20 or 30 year, who knows even how long it'll be operational. So, you know, looking ahead at sort of what, how they continue to connect or what the upgrade is or adding the battery or adding the electric vehicle, you know, it seems like there are a lot of, you know, avenues to sort of build on a PV system that you kind of put in originally. And so when, you know, Sun is talking to its members, are you doing organizing around, you know, go talk to your neighbors and tell them how cool your solar system is and don't they want to get one too, that sort of thing? Or what does that look like?
Yeah, that's, I think, certainly part of it. You know, one of the things we have, you know, volunteers do is a table at community events, you know, for the folks we've helped take solar as we're running solar co-ops in territories where we've ran them previously. They're able to be ambassadors. So they're, you know, sort of the best people for folks who are thinking about solar to talk to. I think we're actually hosting a virtual homeowner panel this week with some folks in Florida. So really providing those, you know, educational opportunities. And I think, and we're also, you know, really keen on providing educational opportunities beyond just solar. So earlier in the summer, we hosted a webinar on electrifying your home. So not just a, you know, adding an electric vehicle, but going from a gas to an electric stove, adding in an electric heat pump. So helping people who've gone solar, who are interested in solar, sort of find those other technologies that can help them sort of better, you know, as I say, take control of where their electricity comes from and their electric use. So yeah, we're really keen on being there for folks sort of through every step of the solar process, but then afterwards, you know, making sure that they get the most out of their, you know, investment in solar. As you said, it is a multi-decade investment. So we want to make sure that they're making the most of it.
Absolutely. I love that. I always encourage, you know, new contractors who are coming to us to partner with us, which a lot of them come from you, which is awesome. We have some great partners that have heard about us through Sun, that, you know, I always encourage them to do full energy audits when they are proposing solar, and not to like two easy solar loans horn, but we are more than willing to finance anything that's an energy efficient upgrade along with their solar to maximize that usage of their solar as well. So we often, you know, are coupling a new heat pump with their solar system, or you know, an EV charger, even if they don't have one yet. I have seen many, many people who are getting prepared for that, which is really exciting. So we are seeing the same things in the industry, and I know you know, over the last year and a half, the amount of storage included in solar contracts has probably at least doubled, if not more. And I think a lot of that is what happened in Texas. You know, consumers, now that it was national news, are much more aware of these things and asking the right questions of the solar contractors who are coming to their homes or proposing to them over Zoom. So it's really an exciting time. To go back to California, you know, it just is flabbergasting that they would I mean, I know it's the public utility, not the state of California, that is trying to take away the net metering. But with their grid issues there, you know, the state is trying to help people and trying to help those people who are most at risk on the grid by helping them purchase batteries and giving them you know, reimbursing them 100% for those batteries so that they can store that power in case there are grid outages. So hopefully we'll see even more things come out of different states, especially the ones that are having these big issues. And then hopefully the ones where electricity isn't quite as expensive and isn't something that, you know, is taken away on a very frequent basis. We are starting to see, you know, other like southern states starting to get into solar more. I just recently went out to a solar installation in Mississippi. It was the very first one in the county in that utility. It was really cool to see that, you know, people are all over the place are really starting to take solar on And we like to joke about, you know, we have a lot of people who finance with us out of Texas and other states where oil is big. And I love to see these oil guys who, you know, they go to work in the oil industry every day, and then they are putting solar on their house, because to me, that is like the, you know, the biggest support of solar that we could show to somebody, that, you know, somebody who's in the industry that's somewhat opposing of solar is also out there putting solar on their home, because we've got to get there in some way, and we still need these fossil fuels to get us to where we want to be with solar. So I think there's been a lot of change just since I've been doing this over the last 7 years, but especially over just like the last year and a half, it's a solar adoption around the country has just blown up, and it's a really exciting time. And we just have to continue to fight the battles where they are that are oppressing it, and continue on. And you know, whatever we can do to help, that's one of the reasons why Ramsey and I started the podcast, is to help with 21st century solutions. And solar is very much a community-based solution. Especially when you are bringing in aspects like sun to help people understand solar, make sure they're getting a good deal, making sure they're getting the right system for themselves. And then, you know, other things like you were saying, like there's solarized campaigns around the country that we've been a part of, and stuff that hopefully will just continue to grow, and we'll just continue to see more growth in the industry, and more people helping themselves with the electricity. So once again, I want to thank you for what you guys are doing, because the more people out there like sun, the better off you know, the world is going to be.
Well, yeah, thank you for those kind words. I guess I'm curious, Kaylin or Ramsey, you know, I talked a little bit about what I'm sort of seeing on the horizon for solar, but I'm really curious here from both of you, in terms of the financing piece, you know, what can folks expect to see over the next 3 to 5 years, you know, as I think, you know, we're, you know, moving into maybe a different layer of the market, you know, maybe beyond a bit some of the early adopters, but into, you know, a more mature market. What are some of the changes that might be on the horizon from the financing side?
Yeah, well, I think that Easy Solar Loan, we really were the first to market on a national level with a dealer fee free program, which allows homeowners really to have freedom of their financing that wasn't available to them before. A lot of solar lenders have a very large percentage that they charge in a fee for their loans. And we wanted to come in and do something different. And we've seen the market kind of turn since we've come to the national platform, and more lenders that are out there, your larger ones, are starting to offer loans that are more like what we offer. And I think people are really, really just out there. I know us and some of the other smaller guys, and even some of the bigger ones, we want to give the solar contractors the loans that are going to help their customers, solar makes sense for their customers. You know, a lot of solar customers, they want to go solar, but they don't have that large out-of-pocket expense to spend for a $30,000, $40,000 system. And then when you're adding batteries, then, you know, we're going to add another $15,000 to that. So just making sure that we're offering products that keep it around their utility bill, so that they are exchanging out one cost for another, seems to be really the most helpful thing for the industry. I think another really important key is going to be direct to consumer options for solar lending. And which just allows them to pick the right product for them and not be forced into a loan just because that's what the contractor they're going with is using. So I think that we'll start to see more of those options on the market as well. And that will keep the cost of solar down. As we're out there, you know, at these conferences and meeting with different solar contractors, the biggest thing that we always hear is getting the soft cost of solar down. And so anywhere that we can help do that is going to be important. And taking out loan fees is a big piece of that. And it sounds like you guys are also on the trail of that as well when it comes to, large purchase agreements. And, another big cost is solar is commissions. And I've seen those also start to go down. You know, let's sell more solar and charge less for it, and we're still going to make the same amount of money. It's kind of how I look at it. So the more adoption we can get with the products that make sense for the homeowners is going to just increase the amount of homeowners around the country that are able to get solar and other electrical, vehicles or energy efficient upgrades. And the other thing that Ramsey and I were kind of curious about that maybe you may have insight into is people who are not homeowners, what can they do to help with the solar adoption and making sure that they are not hindering the grid and helping to adopt clean energy practices in their home, but also throughout their neighborhood? What are the things that people who are non-homeowners can do, or what does Sun suggest to non-homeowners?
Yeah, I think certainly in places where community solar is available, I think that's a potential option. So, folks can either buy or share a lease of a community solar project and then have that credited on their electric bill the same way as if they were homeowners themselves and had it up on their own roofs. I think certainly there's a number of solar advocacy issues that we're fighting on. You mentioned the soft costs of solar. And when I hear that, the first thing I tend to think of is permitting. Making sure that the process for homeowners to get permits either from their local municipality to get approved to do construction, or making sure that their utility is processing those interconnection agreements, the agreements that allow homeowners to turn their system on, making sure that they're doing that in a timely manner. So there's, I think there's a real opportunity there for public pressure on utility commissions, on city councils, on county councils, having done this kind of work for quite a while now. Particularly, I think public service commissions tend to be and see themselves as sort of out of the way agencies that don't, for many reasons, get a lot of public attention. And that can be a challenge because, it may be, with some of these solar issues, it may be hard to, get people to take action on them because these are sort of obscure and oftentimes hard to explain issues. But I feel when we're successful, when we do that, when we explain, why a public service commission is this really important body for solar energy rights, the people get really excited about that. And that when they do take action, public utility commissions take notice because they're not really all that used to it. And so, taking back some of the power from entrenched incumbent utilities basically is a really great way for people to get involved. I think it's a very sort of in some areas sort of low bar sort of low level sort of activism that people can do that I think really you know, for the time that you spend on it, really can make a huge difference. So I definitely encourage people to, you know, get involved on these issues, reach out to your elected officials, and make sure that they know that this is something that's important to their constituents, like we saw in Florida, you know, like we've seen in other places where we've had really important wins for, you know, for solar policy. I think you touched briefly on third-party solar agreements. We helped last year in West Virginia pass a bill that legalized power purchase agreements. So, you know, a state like West Virginia, not necessarily seen as the most solar friendly by any means, but because of our advocacy work over, you know, a series of years, we're able to give this new option for folks, and, you know, really more for organizations to, you know, use solar energy. So I think there's any number of ways to get involved beyond just investing in a solar system on your own roof.
Yeah. So put some of that excitement and energy to work. So for listeners who are getting excited and want to get involved, how do they find you online? How do they find Solar United Neighbors online? Where should we send people?
Yeah, you can visit our website at www.solarunitedneighbors.org. That's www.solarunitedneighbors.org. We'll be, you know, we have all the information you could want about going solar, about community solar, about electric vehicles, about battery storage. And, you know, there's plenty of options there to, you know, sign up, get information from us about solar nationally, but also, you know, what's going on in your community. So it's a great way to get involved and stay informed.
Well, that is fantastic. Ben, thank you so much for taking the time today to hang out with us. Really learned a lot and appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Ramsey, Caitlin. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Happy to come back anytime you want.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you so much.